You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. Late this past week, President Trump said he wants to send National Guard members to the U.S.-Mexico border to patrol it. And that, of course, is against the backdrop of a push to change immigration laws, to do things like reduce the number of legal immigrants in the country and change the kind of immigrants coming, their skill sets, their connections to family in the U.S. Immigration policy has a big impact on our economy, and we're going to dig into that with Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Lizzie. Good to be here.
Can you kind of walk us through what role immigrants play in the U.S. workforce right now?
Well, yeah. So immigrants as a percentage of the labor force, back in 2000, it was about 13% of workers. Now it's 17%, probably a little more since they last gathered the data. And that includes documented and undocumented immigrants.
What happens if the number of immigrants, including refugees, keeps going down?
Well, you know, we already have low unemployment and labor shortages are emerging. We've got baby boomers retiring. The U.S. birth rate is down. And about 1 million legal immigrants have been coming to the U.S. every year and helping to offset those other declines in the labor force.
What about the numbers of immigrants already here? One high-profile group, obviously, is the so-called Dreamers, who came as children, had protected status under DACA. Though all of this has been now held up in the courts, how does all of this affect them?
Well, you know, as deportations ramp up just in general for undocumented people, and then if the Dreamers start losing their work authorizations, their permission to stay, you'll have more immigrants going underground, starting to work undocumented. I talked to Stephanie. She's a Dreamer. She's now 25. She's finishing her BA at the University of Oregon. She came here from Mexico, first to LA, at age 11 as a teenager. She was working under the table, undocumented, to help support her family. Then she got DACA. She asked that we only use her first name to avoid problems with immigration.
I got it on my 21st birthday, and it has been life-changing because prior to that, I was working as a completely undocumented person in a restaurant in LA where we got paid like less than minimum wage. We worked more than 40 hours. We didn't have any access to benefits, and it was exploitive.
So there's obviously a big benefit for Stephanie to be documented, also kind of a knock-on benefit for the overall economy.
I like to think about it not so much in the sense of monetary gain, but like the access to resources, because now I'm able to join unions, get help paying for school. I'm able to get doctor's assistance. Yes, I could tell you, you know, it's a difference of $5 in pay. However, other resources I'm getting from being documented are invaluable.
Now, there's an argument the president has made it and other folks make it. And some folks, I should say, in organized labor over the years have said immigrants take American jobs and at the same time are hard to assimilate into the U.S. workforce. What do we know about whether or not that holds up?
Well, you know, this is something we hear a lot, both from people concerned about, you know, whether there will be jobs for native-born Americans and also employers. I talked to Art Hendricks about this. He is a manager at Portland Parks and Recreation Department, and he talked about this with me at an event that they hold to welcome immigrants to the community in the city's parks.
Oftentimes, we tend to think if they haven't had this education at this college, this kind of work experience that we're familiar with in the United States, well, they don't have the skill sets to do the work. And what I found is that that's not the case at all.
The flip side of this is the individual worker's experience potentially facing some hostility because they are perceived as taking someone else's job or adjusting, being exempted. What have you heard on that end?
Well, I talked to Som Subedi about this. Now, he works for the Parks Department. He actually organizes these immigrant events. He's 36. He has three kids. He's originally from Bhutan. He came to the U.S. from a refugee camp where he grew up, spent most of his life in Nepal, and where, by the way, he earned a bachelor's degree. He says, you know, he has felt hostility and jealousy from U.S.-born coworkers, but he said he pushes ahead. He feels like he has to support his family, and he also really wants to project a good image of the hardworking refugee.
Growing up, I didn't have the resources to learn about computers. I'm learning like so crazy so that I can be with my coworkers who were born here, who learned this process by high school, like Microsoft and all this. But I'm way far behind.
Now, Soam is probably being modest here, because here's what Art Hendricks' boss said about him.
I supervise Soam, and Soam often has to remind me that English is his fifth language. I speak one.
And Lizzie, in case you were wondering, Soam told me that those languages that he speaks are Dzongka, which is the language in Bhutan, plus Nepali, Hindi, British English, and American English, which he insists are separate languages.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lizzie.